as parents. Okay. Bring our.
Okay, I think we, believe it or not, have a fighting chance to actually finish Machpat Patish tonight. I didn't say we would. I said we have a chance to do it. And if by doing so, then believe it or not, we may even have a chance to, I can't even say it with a straight face, to finish Melechah Shabbos. One can never really finish Melechah Shabbos, but at least we can almost finish this this limud of Melechah Shabbos that we have been involved in for, it's close to 4 years already. It's hard to remember exactly even when we started things. So let's see. We should talk too quickly. Let's see if we can get our hands on some of the ends of the last points related to the Melechah Machpat Patish. So we were talking last week about a very specific gezeirah derabbanan that was made in the realm of Machpat Patish. The gezeirah involved all kind of music, musical instruments, and other kind of musical activities and events, which were all revolving around the gezeirah derabbanan shem yisakin kli shiur. We're afraid if a person is involved with different kinds of musical instruments, lest one comes to fix the instrument, which would of course be a problem deraisa. My guitar is broken and I fix it. My piano is broken and I tune it. My tuba doesn't work. I got to get it screwed in properly. So those would all be malachas deraisa of tikkun kli and machmir patish, or fixing something that is broken. Therefore, Chazal were concerned that if I'm involved in any kind of musical activities, lest one comes to violate the issa deraisa of machmir patish. So there is a comment of Tosis that I think we made reference with the very end of the shiur last week. There's a comment of Tosis in Maseches Beitza, but Tosis potentially throws into question the entire gezeirah of Bisman Hazeh. Now, the original context that Tosis was talking about, Tosis wasn't actually talking about playing instruments. Tosis was talking about the Mishnah Maseches Beitza that talks about activities that usually accompany music, such as clapping and dancing. So the Mishnah says that you're not supposed to do those things. In Safkin, in Merakti, you're not supposed to do any of these kinds of things on Shabbos and Yom Tov. As a gezeirah, shem yisakin kli shiur. So Tosfos in one fell swoop says that bezman hazeh, all these things don't apply anymore. You're allowed to clap your hands on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. None of this applies. Why? What happened to the gezeirah? Says Tosfos, ain't not a bikin b'kli shiur. And we don't know how to fix a piano so quickly, how to fix a drum. So most people don't know how to do these things. Only the experts know how to do these things. And therefore, the gezeirah, the rabbanon of Shem Yisak Lishir, just doesn't seem to speak to us bisman hazeh. And therefore, all of the above are now permissible. So this is a very, very loaded Tosfos on multiple levels, that Tosfos seems to be going against the basic principle that we have in Dirim Derabbanan, called Batla Tamlu Batla Gezeirah. We usually work with the assumption that once Chazal make a Gezeirah, so the Gezeirah is here to stay, even if the reason no longer applies, unless there's a formal rescinding of the Gezeirah. There's a Machlekes Rishonim, when the Beis Din will revoke a Gezeirah because the reason doesn't apply anymore, is that revoke of the Gezeirah subject to the regular rules of revoking Gezeirahs? There's a Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Beitza that tells us, whenever Chazal cancel a Gezeirah, so they have to have a greater Beis Din to do so. It has to be Gol B'Chochmo V'Minyan. So that's a Machlekes Rishonim about whether that requirement of Gol B'Chochmo V'Minyan is necessary. But anyway, the Gezeirah doesn't really make any sense. The Gezeirah, anyway, the reason doesn't apply anymore. So some Rishonim say, all right, Zol Zayin, the reason doesn't apply anymore. So then even a lower level Beis Din can cancel the Gezeirah. But everybody seems to agree that you need a formal bitl of the gezeirahs, don't just disappear into thin air. So how can Tosfos say such a thing, that just because nobody knows how to fix the pianos, therefore you can dance and clap as man as that. So what Tosfos seems to be saying is that there are certain gezeirahs that were almost, the tanaim was built into the gezeirah itself, that Chazal were gezeir not to do this for this very reason, and the reason was almost incorporated into the text of the gezeirah, into the nusach of the gezeirah itself. So this principle that Tosfos says, we cannot extrapolate from this principle to other gezeiras the Rabbanon. You have to judge each one on its own merits. So some of you may remember, this goes back probably about 3 years ago. So we'll be down everyone the Chav Schos, if you don't remember when we spoke about this. We spoke about tochein, about the malacha of grinding. So there's an issa the Rabbanon not to take medicine and Shabbos and Yom Tov. Gezeirah, you make them to grind the herbs and the spices like they used to do to make medicines. So one of the Gedolei Acharonim, the Chaim Noam, Ketosa Shulchan, raised the question that maybe this gezeirah doesn't apply to Bisman Hazeh. Since most of us don't make medicine that way, if you have a headache, so you don't go to your backyard and start grinding herbs, you go and take a pre-made Tylenol. So Chaim Noah suggested maybe just as Taisa said that the gezeira of clapping doesn't apply because batlatam batla gezeira. So maybe the same is true for medicine. So Chaim Noah himself says not necessarily the same, and we can't necessarily extrapolate one from another. Whole discussion, and it's generally assumed halacha that we have no right to extrapolate from one gezeira to another. That when Taisus made this very, very controversial statement, see, many disagree with Taisus, but even the Balei Taisus who made the statement only said it where they said it. I mean, ain't all chadish kulos me'atzmenu. That Taisus somehow had this understanding that this b'serah, that tradition, that this gezeira was made dafka latanai, was dafka made if and when the concern is there. So even if we're going to give into the Taisus that there is such a kula, but we have no right to go jump and run for this kula to other gezeiras. But even the Taisus themselves are far from agreed upon by everybody. Many, many folks can disagree with this. Thousands, many folks can say, many Rishonim don't quote this kula. Many Rishonim say the din applies in full force today. How do we pass in halacha on this question in terms of would we permit the clapping and dancing b'zman hazeh and just almost like ignore this gezeira? So we kind of pass in a little bit of a split on this. The post can tell us that l'chatchila one shouldn't really rely on this Taisus unless there's some real tzarech. What's the tzarech? The post can say some real tzarech mitzvah, some real tzarech kavanat Torah, things of that nature. It shouldn't just be stab up a free-for-all just to clap and dance for no real reason. There should be some real, real pressing kind of a need to justify, to warrant dancing, or to warrant clapping on Shabbos Yontif. Perhaps the most famous example of a justified need is a kofis on Simchas Torah. Oh, I think the minig is to be mekum. I think we do dance at on Simchas Torah. Kavalt, it's against the Mishnah. The poskim write that al kavra Torah, kavra Torah, Simchas Torah is enough grounds, is sufficient enough grounds to permit dancing and clapping, etc., on what was otherwise be an Issa D'Rabbanan, according to the Din HaMishnah. And it gets a little bit tricky, you know, where do you draw the line? You know, you're having a Shabbaton, and dancing will be a little inspirational, those sufficient grounds to justify it. It's hard for me to, you know, take case by case. It's, each Rav has to decide for themselves whether they think that those are sufficient enough grounds to rely on Tosfos. So again, those are rely on Tosfos, but whether or not we should lechatchila just off the bat, just permit everything, is questionable. The post can point out that if one claps in a little somewhat of an abnormal fashion, so you know, the shibashi, you know, that kind of clap, you know, or even like some people bang on the table, so you bang up some of them with the back here, you bang with a finger or something instead of with your full hand, some kind of a derech shinoi. So that probably would be sufficient under these circumstances as well. So the answer to the question is, do we postulate Tosfos? Probably yes. In our heart and souls, we really do. If we really didn't postulate Tosfos, then we would be very hard to justify a kofos and Simchas Torah. So, but Ikar Mikra did, we really do follow the view of Tosfos. So now the question is, how far does this Tosfos go? How far do we have a right to extend this idea that, well, if we're not there clapping and dancing, because the gezeira doesn't apply, do we have a right to say that, to take this Tosfos almost to the extreme and say, Bahu Adinami, similarly, you could play the piano on Shabbos and Yontif, play the drums on Shabbos and Yontif, play the tuba on Shabbos and Yontif, because the whole reason why you can't play musical instruments is Shem Yisak and Klishir. So we who are not Bekim and Klishir, so we can be mafter all these things. So here the post can say, here the post can point out that even within the gezeira of Shem Yisak and Klishir, there are dargas, there are degrees. Not all Shem Yisak and Klishir are the same. There are some activities that are much, much more concerning, much, much more likely, much higher risk categories than others. So let's say you have something like dancing and clapping. So what are the odds that that's going to lead you to day Masatan Klishir? So it's really, really far removed. You know, number one, I don't even necessarily have an instrument here. So I'm just kind of clapping a little bit to Zmiras. Oh, wait a minute. I clap. I'm going to start pulling out the drum. Oh, I'm hitting the drum. Oh, no, the drum's broken. The drum, I have to go fix something on the drum. That's already almost like multiple levels of risks far, far, far away. So when you have such a far-fetched concern, well, then we have a right to invoke this idea that Taisus. That's what Taisus meant when the risk is very, very low. So then added to that risk is that this also... so unlikely you're going to fix something because Bizman Hazeh, we don't really know how to fix things anyway. So the odds that you're going to be that one expert who knows how to fix the drum, you don't even have a drum. I'm just barely clapping, and I'm afraid that clap is going to lead to the drumming, which is going to lead to the broken drum, which is going to lead to the fixing. Reach a point where you know the risks are very, very low. I think we're all familiar with that moshel bezmanas. I think we're all kind of, you know, grappling with this idea of, you know, risk factors. You know, start combining very, very low risk factors. You know, again, I don't get a mice in our parsha right now of COVID. Combining your vaccinated people with people who have very, very low risk factors. Then, you know, so we all live our lives. All decisions that we make in lives ultimately are combinations of, you know, when we can get the odds much, 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 much higher in our favor. So then, you know, it's justified to take certain very, very low level kinds of risks. So that's what the person can say here also, that the clap, which is itself very far removed from fixing a drum. So you can be made. But to play the drum itself, that's already, you're already in the next category. You're a little bit of higher risk because you're already playing the instrument. You're playing the piano, you're playing the guitar, you're playing the flute. That's already a little bit of a higher risk category. And Tosus never said that. We don't have any source in Tosus that to actually play the musical instrument, we can be make up as man as this. That's why it's understood. And Nimr Vigor, all the Gedalia person can say that even the Mekilim like Tosus have no right to play piano on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. We cannot justify playing musical instruments in Hamish. However, even though we can't justify literally playing instruments on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, maybe we can justify as follows. And this is a throwback that we spoke a little about last week. But last week we mentioned that the Gemara talks about, you know, knocking on the door on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So we paskin that you're allowed to knock on the door on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, as long as you're not knocking to a tune. If you're not to make a musical out of it, so that would pose a problem of Shem Yisach and Klishir. That's already Mashmiya Kol, Shem Yisach and Klishir. But if you just knock to get in some Mikra, then that's okay. Nevertheless, Maharil told us that if it's a Kliya Meyuchat Lekach, that's already more of a serious problem. And we spoke a little bit about last week where that Chumra came from, what that Chumra is based on, etc. So it was because of that concern of Kelim HaMiyuchadim Lekach that almost like raises up the ante a little bit, raises the risk factor a little bit. That was the issue we spoke about at the end of the show last week about the bells in the Sefer Torah. So there are some folks who didn't like the bells in the Sefer Torah because bells are a davar miyuchad lekach. On the other hand, the person's not really planning on making it music. He doesn't really want to play the music. So it comes a little bit tricky. Where do you draw the line? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Tosfos. Magen Avraham says that since we're not even talking about a guy playing, if a guy would take the bells and ring and jingle, jingle, you know, to make a nice song out of it, so that would be more of a concern. But that's not what's happening. I'm thinking the Sefer Torah out, and there's a little bit of here, a little bit of a ringing in the background from the bells and the Sefer Torah. I'm not planning to make it there a shir, but it is a kliyam yuchalakach for shir that's making noise. So the Magen Avraham says, well, under those circumstances, maybe we can bring Tosfos back into the picture. That since this whole gezeira of Shem Yisach and Klei Shir is so shaky bizman hazeh, and that's the reason why we justify the dancing and Simchas Torah and the clapping and other kinds of things, that the Ikra din is probably okay, even though maybe we're a little bit weary if we can, but bottom line, we really truly believe in our heart of hearts that these things are probably all okay in Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Magen Avraham says that, well, if it's okay to clap and to dance, even though those things are explicit Mishnah, so those would also be sufficient grounds to carry the Sefer Torah, which with the bells would be ringing as well. So again, we do bring Tosfos back into the equation every once in a while, but not totally. We're not going to actually go out and literally permit the playing of musical instruments in Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's already too far for us. However, even though nobody that we know of would ever go ahead and permit the playing of piano, playing guitar, playing the drums on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there is a fascinating discussion in the Rishonim and in the Shulchan Aruch, not about me doing it, but asking a non-Jew to do it. Under what circumstances would we be permitted to ask a non-Jew to play a musical instrument on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So to us, that's like such a bizarre thing. Like, who would even, in the wildest dream, ask a non-Jewish, you know, having Sheva Brachas and invite a non-Jew to play the piano, to play the guitar. So among the things, who would ever dream of such a thing on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And believe it or not, there are Rishonim who permitted it outright, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that's your opinion, that it's mutter, you can mamish ask a non-Jew to play a musical instrument on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Based on who? Based on what? What in the world is it based on? So there are almost two different justifications for this practice. Again, this is a practice that apparently was prevalent in the days of the Rishon. It was prevalent in the days of Shulchan Aruch. I think as I have never gone to a frum event on Shabbos or Yom Tov that has a non-Jew playing, you know, little music in the background. But believe it or not, in the days of the Rishon, this is a fairly common event. The question is, what can we possibly justify? Is this a merely Yaakov? How can he ask a non-Jew to do something for you that you're not allowed to do yourself? So there are really two different grounds to be a little bit makel on this. Really, again, not that we're doing it practically, but mikra to be makel. So number one is that, let's not forget, we always have the Tosfos in our back pocket. Now what the Tosfos told us is that, well, b'zman hazeh, the concern of Shemi Sakleshir is not really there. Now we just said a minute ago, what do you mean it's not there? It's not there vis-a-vis you know, clapping and dancing, but it is there vis-a-vis playing the piano, playing the drums, playing the flute. So one could argue, like a third category, this is not just clapping. You know, clapping, so there's no instruments here. So we say that's a very, very, very low risk potential. I'm playing the piano, I'm playing the guitar, I'm playing the drums. That's a much, much, much higher risk potential. So this is nishtim nishtim. This is like right smack in the middle. This is something literally just kind of stuck, kind of like stuck in the middle. There is musical instrument being played. It's not being played by a Jew. It's played by a non-Jew. So one could argue that since it's only a non-Jew playing it anyway, the odds that, first of all, we don't even know it's going to break. And then the odds that I'm going to go fix it. I'm not the player. I'm not the musician. The guy who's playing the guitar, he's going to fix it if anything. So do we really have to be concerned that the non-Jewish playing his guitar for me, I'm going to come to fix Shemi Satan Klishir? And the whole thing is so unlikely because who's fixing Klishir? As well as that? We're not the key. We don't know how to do it anyway. So maybe one could argue that vis-a-vis the non-Jews doing it, it would be a little bit grounds to be made. We could always pull the Tosfos out of a hat. But maybe we don't even need the Tosfos. Maybe we have a right to be a little bit more lenient based on a different approach. And this is something that we've spoken about many, many times, one of the basic principles in Hilchos Shabbos, which runs as follows. Now, the starting point is, of course, there's a prohibition of Avir Yaakov. There's no question that what I'm not allowed to do, so the baseline is, if I can't do it myself, I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it. Now, the Isser of Avir Yaakov is most probably only with the Rabbanon. Min HaTorah, I can ask a non-Jew to do anything. Ask him to strike a match, ask him to drive, I can do anything for me, even real Hilchos Shabbos Gomer. But with the Rabbanan, you're not permitted to do so. Why did Chazal make this gezeira? What was wrong with the din deraisa, so to speak? Why can't I just ask the non-Jew to do everything for me? So there are different reasons that the Rishonim give. Some Rishonim would say that it's almost like a gezeira that if you're going to ask the non-Jew to do it, you're going to start to get into the habit of doing malachas on Shabbos, and next thing you have a non-Jew around to do it yourself. So that's already one fear. That's already one concern. That's one potential problem. Then there are others who say that it's almost like a principle of shlichus, that the non-Jews acting on your behalf, even though there's no formal shlichus for non-Jews, it gives off a little bit of an impression of shlichus. It's a shlichus l'chumra. It looks like if I'm asking the non-Jew to do it, it's either I'm doing it myself. So on the level of the Rabban, it doesn't look right. Some say the prohibition of Emili Akhlam is it's like a violation of Daber Dover. I'm not even allowed to talk about malacha. I'm not allowed to sit around and say that I'm going to do a certain malacha. Those who saw the Or HaTorah, you know, Shalach Manus, 10 questions. So we had our special 10 Shabbos, test to Shabbos knowledge. So one of them, if I'm not mistaken, was that tricky question. Am I allowed to say the following, that I am going to go from New Jersey to California on Shabbos, even though going from New Jersey to California is going to violate Chumin and I have to get in a plane and that. But you're allowed to say, you know why? So the Gemara says the end of Masechta Shabbos because you could do it behetter. It's possible to walk from here to California, even though it would be huts along the way, there would be little cities, little towns along the way. So then theoretically you could walk. So there's nothing per se also about walking. What do you mean? Who's going to walk? You'd have to fly. You don't have to fly. You could walk. It may take you 6 months to get there, but you know you could theoretically do that on Shabbos. So as long as there's a way to do it to have to, even though very, very far-fetched, and clearly that's not what your intention is, that's not called davidov. That's not called speaking about doing malacha. I've told over the story in the past that years ago, I used to teach a Hilchos Shabbos here in Stern. So I was once talking about this halacha, and I said you have to be careful that if you want to talk about things you're going to do after Shabbos, make sure to say I'm going somewhere. Don't say I'm driving. Once you say the word I'm driving, that's a bad word on Shabbos. It's very hard to drive. It's impossible. You can't drive a car without doing halacha. So to say I'm driving, but say Shabbos, that's fine. Say I'm going. I'm going to. Be careful what you're saying you're going to. If you say I'm going to the mall to go shopping, that's a problem because you can't go shopping on Shabbos. So anything you can't do on Shabbos, you can't talk about on Shabbos. That's a violation of a davar dover. So I told the girls, always get into the habit of saying I'm going. Leave out the word driving. So a girl comes back the next week, she said she went out for Shabbos. And she, every time someone in her family said something about driving somewhere after Shabbos, she said, no, say I'm going. So she said to me that at the end of the meal, her mother said to her, that I would like to tell you what you're doing to me. You are driving me crazy, but I'm going to tell you you are going me crazy. And that was the end of the conversation. So the bottom line is that you're not even allowed to talk about malachas of kavachim, and they ask a non-Jew to do it. It's aimlecha talking about malachas of kavachim. If I ask the non-Jew, please come into my room and turn on the light. So that's talking about malacha.
It's avru davar, but the rabbanim only the raises.
Even on the rabbanim, davar davar is I'm not allowed to talk about even, I can't say I'm going to move mukta. Tomorrow. I can't say I'm going to go to the store, go shopping. Shopping is only the rabbanon. I can't say anything that's any isser on Shabbos. So the bottom line is that Amir Liak was for sure also. There's no question Amir Liak was also. Whether it's also for reason X, Y, Z, that's subject to debate. But then, of course, there's an isser of Amir Liak. But Amir Liak was only the rabbanon. It's important to remember that for our discussion because since it's only the rabbanon, Chazal gave certain leniencies of Amir Liak. They lifted the isser of Amir Liak sometimes. When did they lift the Yisr of Amir Liakum? So there are different opinions about this. So there are some Rishonim, an extreme view in Rishonim, say for the Baal Ha'ita, one of the Gedolim, early Rishonim says that they lifted Amir Liakum from Mokom Mitzvah. Whenever there's a Mokom Mitzvah, you can ask a goy to do anything and everything, which would fit nicely into the Davar Dover model, because Davar Dover is usually lifted from Mokom Mitzvah. Like I'm allowed to say, I'm driving to a Shir tonight with you, would you like a ride or something? You know, whenever it enhances mitzvahs, that's for sure okay. So some Rishonim were of the opinion that you can ask a non-Jew to do anything that's Mokom Mitzvah. That would be an unbelievable green light. You can ask a non-Jew to light fires for you, to light candles for you, to carry the, whatever has to be done, everything is Mokom Mitzvah. Really, so we try not to follow that. There are more quotes that there are some communities in Europe used to follow that. It's not the optimal opinion. It's probably the minority view of Rishonim. So we don't go that far. But what we do is as follows, where we do accept, and again, not even everybody accepted this, but this is the generally accepted view of halacha. I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do what would otherwise be a deraisa. Like I can't ask the non-Jew to turn on a light. I can't ask the non-Jew to cook for me. I can't ask the non-Jew to do the laundry for me. Those are deraisas. But I can ask the non-Jew to do a derabanan for me. Something that itself would only be a derabanan. Even if I did it myself, it would only be a derabanan. I can ask the non-Jew to do it if there's some kind of a very, very important need. What constitutes an important need? Generally speaking, a mokom mitzvah, a mokom tzad, a person is very, very uncomfortable. When the some post mokom hefsem merubah, there's a big financial monetary loss, that could also pass, it'll be enough for tzarech. But let's take the mokom mitzvah for a second. So we pass in halacha like that view under Rishonim, and I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something that itself would only be a derabanan. Provided that there is some kind of a big makom mitzvah, some kind of a big tzarechia like a makom mitzvah. So it's based on this that many Rishonim permitted the asking of non-Jews to play music for them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. When? If there was a big makom mitzvah. What's the grace of makom mitzvah? Shabbos afternoon, I want to have a little concert by the non-Jewish violinist. What kind of makom mitzvah is that? But what if you're having Shavuot brachos? So it's interesting because in the days of the Rishonim, we spoke about this also in the past, that it was very, very common into the days of the Achronim, into not that long ago in Europe, people would get married on Friday, and they would get married late in the day on Friday, and then they would have the chuppah right before the end of the day, and then they would have the chasana meal would be on Friday night. They did it for a very, very simple reason, that nobody had enough food for chasanas, so it was... Now we have some simchas today that are simchas to go. This was a simcha, bring your own. It means your mom, she had to bring your own chicken. So anyway, people had to have chicken. Who does have chicken on Friday night? So to tell people to have chicken two nights a week, we could afford chicken another night. So they had the same chicken for Friday night meal as the chasana meal. So kid you not, that was the reason why in Eastern Europe, they used to have weddings on Friday afternoons. The poshut couldn't, nobody could afford to pay for a wedding. People couldn't afford to buy Shabbos food. So at least, yeah. It will be a bad joke, a bad pun, but we'll say it anyway. Kill two birds with one stone. That's literally, that wasn't the plan of the statement, but I realized that would be a good one for this one. That's exactly what they used to do. So they would make the chassid Friday night. So if you think about it, the main chassid meal is Friday night, wants to sit down to chassid and have to have music. Who's going to play? So I guess we can invoke the fiddler on the roof. See, we got to get a fiddler. So who's going to fiddle? I mean, again, don't think we're talking about a 10-piece orchestra over here for people who couldn't afford to have a piece of chicken in Krakow on Friday night. You're talking about, you probably have the town fiddler who would come. So we have the town fiddler. His name is Tevyan. We don't really know what the name of the fiddler on the roof was. He was some mysterious person on the roof. But if his name is Tevye or something, he's a Jewish guy. He can't play instruments on Friday night. But if his name is, I'm trying to remember one of the non-Jews in Fiddler on the Roof, one of the Russian chevra. So if you come, you bring a non-Jewish fiddler. So great, wonderful. But I'm not allowed to play the fiddle on Friday night. How can I ask the non-Jew to do it? So the answer is, well, even if I would play it myself, it would only be a derabbanan. It's not a nisa deraisa to play the fiddle. It's a nisa derabbanan because there you're going to fix shabbisat kleshir. Oh, I'm not doing it myself. I'm asking a non-Jew to do it. So I'm asking a non-Jew to play the fiddle for me. I think if I'll come up a mitzvah, the Rishonim, right? What kind of chassid meal is going to be without music? It's going to be terrible. It's going to be very, very sad. So a mitzvah, that would be okay. So that's what's called. We call a shvus to shvus mokom mitzvah. So there are two different reasons that are presented as to why we could be very, very lenient that the non-Jews mamish running a musical for us on Friday night, on Yom Tov night. And that's okay. Either because the Issa is such a low-level Issa because we always have Tosfos in our back pockets. Even without Tosfos, it would still be okay because maybe we could justify based on the regular rules of Shvus to Shvus and Mokom Mitzvah. So again, this is a practice that was prevalent in the Rishonim. I can't say I was not at any weddings in Eastern Europe in the early 1900s. I cannot tell you how long in our history this was still being practiced. But I don't see this anymore. We should not be doing this. In our world, this would be viewed as a tremendous period, a tremendous zilzal. So we wouldn't, we clearly wouldn't have such a thing. There was an interesting discussion the Pelskim had. If that's the case, that you can have a non-Jew, help a little bit musical. So there was a question that was posed about, forget about Shemir Brachas and Chassid meals. What about for davening? What about the spice up the davening a little bit. So would that also be justified? So here the Chassam Sefer had a very, very strong position, which has become obviously representative of the Torah world back in the early 1800s when the issue was raised. So as some of you may know, that one of the big innovations of reform in the early days was the bringing of the organ into the shul. So some Sefer writes in a tshuva that is forget about on Shabbos, that is a non-starter on Tuesday also. There are no circumstances where we have an organ in our shul. Besides all the reasons of Shem Yisak and Kleshir and all the other reasons, so he said it doesn't belong in davening at all. Why doesn't it belong in davening? So it doesn't belong in davening, perhaps for the very same reason why it was being brought into davening or being brought into the temples in the first place, because it was being done to mimic the non-Jews. So they unfortunately know that the early reformers wanted to make the shul service as close to the non-Jewish service, and one of the ways of doing that was to bring in the organ. So that was a non-starter. So some Sefer was very, very opposed to that, rightfully so, and so all the other Gedolei Poskim, and therefore Bishum Panav Oifen, we don't have any of those kinds of things in our shuls. Not only in Shabbos, we don't have them during the week as well. Now again, whether that particular concern covers other kinds of musical accompaniments in other kinds of davening settings for sometimes certain kira purposes or other kind of purposes, that's already a more loaded question and a more sensitive kind of a question that we're not going to have the opportunity to talk about right now. But suffice it to say that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, all of the above is out of the question. If a Jew is playing a musical instrument, that's completely out of the question. That is a full-fledged violation of Shem Yisak and Kleshir. Even if a non-Jew is playing it, the Minhag HaOlam has for long done away with that practice. Even though one could have theoretically argued that maybe this is the grounds to Lahatir, but forgetting about a shul davening setting, even the wedding settings, shir bracha settings, none of those settings would we justify any of the above? So again, so the Shemi Saklishir is a real Issur Derabanan that was instituted as a Gezeira Otomach Bepatish. Tosfos did put a little bit of brakes on in a very, very limited sense. And again, the Tosfos itself was controversial, and we were only kind of willing to rely on the Tosfos and the, you know, real Mekumos Mitzvah, the Torah, things like that nature. But even the Sheet of the Balei Tosfos would only apply to the very, very low risk kind of activities, whether maybe the non-Jews or out clapping and dancing, things which are not outright in the fullest sense of Shemi Zanklei Shir, maybe there would be grounds to be Megil. The actual playing of instruments today should be avoided. So all of that above and all of the making of noise and everything, which is all quasi Shemi Zanklei Shirs. So one has to go case by case and see under what circumstances would we justify any of the above. But in terms of the musical instruments, so especially played by a Jew, so really we'd have no reason to be making whatsoever. So I think we, believe it or not, I think we actually can make a siyum on Shemi Zanklei Shir, which leads to a siyum on Mapa Patish, which since we've decided we're not really going to do Melechas Hotzah, I think this time around. So I think that pretty much finishes for us. I don't want to say the Lamedes Melechas, but at least the Lamedes Melechas. So tremendous shkrach to everybody who has been in joining us for many of you have actually been joining from the very, very beginning. I think it's already almost 4 years. Many of you have joined along the way. We're happy to have everybody. So I think what we'll try to do tentatively between now and Pesach, we'll try to have some special shiurim. I don't know yet. Henry said we'll talk about some of the venue over the next day or two as to what that'll be. But it'll probably be a little bit more Yom Yom oriented. We'll kind of keep this slot open. I guess that we'll kind of revamp it when they change the clock, and we'll have to rethink about what puts everybody where. But at least for now, at least hopefully between now and Pesach, we should be able to hop around a couple of more weeks of Motzei Shabbos here, which will probably be in Yom Yom. And then after Yom Tov, we'll figure out where we're holding in terms of we'll see where we're holding in terms of COVID, in terms of the shul, in terms of the shul room, in terms of everything, in terms of what our next limud will be. So we'll everyone keep posted as to what the upcoming venues in Mitzvah Shabbos will continue. So big shkach to everybody for joining us. Hopefully, next Mitzvah Shabbos, we'll be back on.